T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
When you break that losing streak, the mentality just helps you. That's just natural. You feel better about it. So no matter how it comes, and so to see that you're one game out with all those teams that are in that mix for that last spot, I don't care who you are. If you're a competitor, you care about that.
Vooch steps in, left side three from DeMar DeRozan, and the Vooch, bam! He's 5 for 5 from three-point range.
And the lead pass goes to Vooch, right elbow Green on a pump, right corner Caruso, 4-3, got it!
The ball movement of the Chicago Bulls has been superb. Left corner, Lonzo, open three, bam! This baby is over. 131-117 Bulls, 65 seconds left. Charlotte with Rozier launching a right side three, and they're going to wave it off. Ball game over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 133-119.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving? Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
He has reached base in 19 consecutive games now. During that stretch, he's hit 7 homers in 19 games. And Seager in the air to center field. Way back. Watch this one. Long home run. Corey Seager. 2-0 Dodgers. And a deja vu moment for Seager and LA in game 3.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard Matt Nagy there responding to a question about being in the playoff hunt, which is an absurdity in and of itself. I mean, the issue isn't you're one game out, Coach. It's the 7 teams ahead of you. The Bulls highlights, courtesy of the fine folks at WSCR, givers, wonderful people. And then you heard Brian Kelly. That was last week.
Yeah.
When he was asked if he'd ever leave Notre Dame. That wasn't today. It wasn't yesterday. That was last week. It wasn't a year ago.
And wow. That was in reference to the USC rumor, which was out there about them pursuing Brian Kelly. And he facetiously referenced a $250 million,
yeah,
you know, whatever. The payday will be less than that, but
yeah, pretty good payday.
$100 million for 10 years is very appealing and understandable why Brian Kelly would look at that offer and see what that means in both Notre Dame for LSU.
And you heard that highlight there, courtesy of TBS, of Corey Seager hitting a 2-run homer against the Braves. And Corey Seager, a $100 million deal is just a mere bag of shells,
yeah,
to a guy like that. That's nothing.
A few,
right?
Bats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$325 million. $325 million, and then you couple that with the $175 million. Okay, so that's $500 million they spent on two players.
The money being thrown around Major League Baseball is good evidence that the game is healthy financially as we veer toward this work stoppage, which looms on Thursday. And we talk about revenue distribution and how, you know, the owners that were claiming biblical losses, okay, maybe during the pandemic, that was one way to put it. unfortunate way to put it if you're Tom Ricketts, because it's hard to outgrow and outlive. But the game's pretty healthy if you're giving out the size of the contracts that are being given out to the Corey Seagers and Marcus Simeons and Robbie Rays of the world in free agency. The money is there, Mully. The game is healthy. Now try to save it by, you're not going to avoid a work stoppage, it looks like, but let's hope this doesn't linger and drag into much, much further into the winter than it than necessary.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. A lot of people want to check in on a variety of subjects. Let's get to it. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices in BetQLnetwork.com.
All right, we'll start with Kevin. He's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Mully, you made the hair stand up on my arms when you said Dabo Sweeney to Notre Dame. I was expecting Dustin to pass out immediately.
Yeah, that
was did.
So I have a comment about the Cubs and the Sox. So quickly about the Cubs. There's no movement on Contreras, and that's the only thing I need to know about this offseason. So it shows me they are 100% not serious about – he's the one really good player they have, and they have no interest in paying him. So they had no interest. Okay, so they didn't get Seager. They can't even play in the Steven Matz four-year, $44 million. He would have upgraded. Jonathan Gray, $58 million. They can't even play in that pool. And all my Cubs fan friends, they're all looking out the window like Dustin for Santa Claus coming with his bag of money. It ain't coming. And everyone says, oh, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Make no mistake, this guy has sat out four of the last five offseasons. This guy has no intention of doing this. And the only thing I would say for my Sox fan friends, too, remember how you felt the day after that Astros game. Now that everyone wants to give them the benefit of the doubt and maybe we'll tweak. This team is not a tweak away.
No.
And putting Man Bun in the starting rotation with his 50 innings, that is not a way to win the World Series, guys. I'm sorry, but the Sox are just as pathetic as the Cubs. The Sox have tons of holes. But anyone waiting for Ricketts to do anything, just stop. It's not coming. Stop talking about it.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Did he call Michael Kopech man bun?
He called him man bun.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's fine. I mean, he wears a man bun.
He better give him more than 50 innings, though.
Well, no. I mean, that's what he had.
That's 10 starts, though.
But that's what he's had the last couple of years.
I know.
I mean, he's been injured, he missed the season, and then he's got 50 innings. I think you got to keep that in perspective as you talk about him as an everyday starter.
Point's a good one. You don't know what you have in terms of durability in Michael Kopech.
Right.
That's why you need to protect yourself against that question by going out and signing a top-of-the-rotation starter.
No question about it. And there's still some guys out there. Rich is in Old Town. Hey, Rich.
Hey, morning, guys. I like your short list on Notre Dame. I'm in real agreement, but there's two things I want to point out. The first thing is I think Luke Fickell is clearly the leader in the clubhouse. He would be a great pick. And I'll tell you why. There's two reasons. One of which is I think Notre Dame's problem since 88 is these kids today that are getting recruited are not really aware of the Notre Dame legacy anymore. It's just another place to go play. I think a guy like Fickell, who's young and energetic, plus, you got to remember, he game planned to beat Notre Dame, which would tell you maybe he knows a lot about their personnel, which would be a guy I'd want to get. He knows where the holes are at Notre Dame. The caution I would give Kelly, because I think this is a real problem no one has brought up, the guys that have been transplants in the SEC, because I'm an SEC guy, guys like Belima at Wisconsin, Les Miles, he went down to LSU. Belima went to Arkansas. There's a big difference, and I tell you what the difference is. Expectations at LSU is to win a national championship every year. The fans of Notre Dame.
The guys have done it. Yeah.
Rich, I respect your opinion, but Les Miles won a national title.
That's right.
And I wouldn't compare Brett Bielema's approach to Les Miles' approach.
So did Ed Orgeron. So did Nick Saban. Yeah.
Nick Saban is a great example.
That's
He's a Midwestern guy, if you want to go that route, and say he went down to Baton Rouge and he won.
That's right.
So
he's a pretty good coach, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the phone call.
You'd take him, wouldn't you? Let's try Mark. Mark's in Plainfield. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. I have to say that I was underwhelmed with Kelly's hire 10 years ago, and I'd feel the same thing about Fickell. And call me crazy, but I mean, he doesn't really get me excited too much. I think that my two guys I would be excited about is Campbell and Fitzgerald. I have to say that I saw something on social media the other day with Iowa State's senior day, and Campbell was giving seniors away, and it was just really cool because, I mean, just the way that he interacts with his players and, what he gets out of them. I mean, I think that would be a great hire. I have two things, and I'll get off. You guys were kind of hemming and hawing about Tommy Rees. He's a Notre Dame guy. I mean, I would look at it as a promotion like Fitz, was promoted at Northwestern. So I'm just kind of curious why that would be an honor for both of you.
We were, Mark, just to explain that, Dustin doesn't like Tommy Rees for some reason. I don't know why. But it's, we obviously know Bill, his father. He's a great guy. A wonderful family. I got a lot of time for Tommy Rees. I think he's done a really good job.
He's done a nice job this year.
Yeah.
With a couple different quarterbacks and Jack Cohn.
I think we're making fun of him at all.
No, not at all.
I think Dustin, it's just more or less making fun of Dustin.
And it goes back to his playing days, right?
Right. I just, those were some days where I thought Notre Dame had some talent everywhere else. And I think Tommy Rees was just...
But he was very dependable.
The caretaker.
But he was the guy.
Game manager.
He wasn't the superstar guy, but he was the guy, very dependable, very consistent, and he played well at Notre Dame.
If you were down 10, he wasn't going to get you back down 10.
But he might be able to get you a 10-point lead.
If he got you up 10, he wasn't going to turn the ball over, make any mistakes,
right.
Those kind of things. He was a game manager.
But let me say this. I think with Tommy Rees or with Marcus Freeman, I think they both could lay claim to why they would make sense to elevate them to be the head coach. I just think you need somebody with experience in that role. I think that is proven. And I know Ryan Day at Ohio State was elevated. He didn't have head coaching experience. He's done okay.
But he's been many places. He's been in the NFL.
A little more traveled.
Yes.
A little more experience there.
A little bit.
I just don't know that I would feel as good and secure about the future of Notre Dame football if you give it to somebody who's learning how to be a head coach for the first time in a very tough spot.
He does not get the Subway alumni. He doesn't get the fans. Nobody's going to say, gosh, I want to go play for Tommy Rees.
Freeman?
Here's my guy, Paulus with Rees and Freeman, with like Freeman getting the associate head coach label. And a massive, being paid as the, highest defensive coordinator in all the land.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing about that team this year, it's been improvement on defense.
They tackle better.
That's exactly right.
They practice.
He's done a very good job.
They're smarter defensively. They have done well in addressing their weaknesses, and that is coaching. Now, can we start calling Dustin Beno? Because I don't know where this Ron Paulus love is coming from.
I just think it makes a ton of sense. I think consistency is very important. I think tradition is very important at Notre Dame. And I think Ron Paulus can keep both of those. Now, again, he's coached in the past. He knows what it's like to have a ton of pressure on him at Notre Dame. Now, granted, he did not live up to all the pressure that was heaped upon him, but at least he knows it. I just think if you bring in a guy from the outside, and Luke Fickell, you can sell me on Luke Fickell. I'm just talking about if for some reason money's an issue, which it shouldn't be at Notre Dame, you wouldn't think.
No, it should not be.
But if the reason Brian Kelly left was money and the idea to go win a national champ, why would Luke Fickell think he could win a national championship at Notre Dame if he's barely going to be able to win one at Cincinnati?
He's at Cincinnati, it's a clear step up.
But you can, it better be, but you can get anybody you want into Cincinnati.
Yeah, but it's not Notre Dame, Dustin. That's why Brian Kelly ended up at Notre Dame instead of Cincinnati. And frankly, you know what? To get back to Mark's point of the caller, Matt Campbell does build relationships with his players. That was a very poignant highlight, seeing him crying, saying goodbye to his seniors. You want that kind of guy leading your program. I could see that being a fit in South Bend as well.
Sure, but you're going to have to pay him like $80 million.
Money should not be an object at Notre Dame. They don't pay their coaches great. But are you telling me that the national program of college football has a money issue?
No, no, no. But I mean, if you're going to spend 80, then I say spend 100 and go get Cliff Kingsbury. That's my point.
I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury wants to leave Scottsdale. Why would you?
I want to at least make the offer.
What's the connection?
The connection is there's no connection. It's just okay. He is a great. I think he is. He's very innovative on offense. Kids want to go places where the ball is put up in the air. They're gonna, you know, if Cliff Kingsbury's the coach, they're gonna put the ball up in the air.
You know, the Lincoln Riley thing. If you think about that and apply it here, that is a guy that can go in and that people want to follow him and play for him because he's got this offense and he's gonna make it happen for you. So I understand that. I just don't get. I don't understand really. Was it a money thing with Kelly or? I think you're right. I think it's more about he can't get that final push, and he needs to get other players in.
He's
60. He get.
He's got one more
he's got one last
shot.
Yeah.
He's got one more window,
that's right.
And he wants to open it, and he's going to be opening it at LSU.
All right, we've got to get to the pick six. We'll do that next. We'll get back to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. But we're going to pick apart the stories of the day with the pick six next. Mullion Hall on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. Pick Six with Mullion Hall starts now.
What did you think of Eddie Jackson telling fans that the chance of fire Nagy aren't helping?
I mean, we hate it, honestly. Like, the fans got to understand that doesn't help anything. You know, y'all want us to play better, do better. That's not helping. You know what I mean? When y'all sitting up there and chanting that. But, you know, I get it. You know, the frustration. You know, long life Bears fans been going through this for a long, long time. So I understand it.
Will Jackson's comments have any impact in dissuading fans from the chant?
I love that. I love that question. No. Unequivocally, no. I don't think people are chanting because they're hoping the Bears win. I think they've begun chanting because the Bears aren't winning. And the chant is not to Matt Nagy. The chant is to the people in the box above them, okay? The chant is designed to sort of impact the decision makers. And I don't know that it didn't come close to doing that. But it really has nothing to do with the team on the field. And you know what? I got a lot of time for anybody that's willing to stand up and talk about it. And Eddie Jackson, you know, his message is fine. I got no problem with that. But, and he says that he understands it and all that. Because you can't control how the fans feel. You cannot tell people, oh, don't do that. That's not helping. Because you know what? They're paying top dollar to go out there and do that. And there are people that will stick around and stay just to have their chant. And get their chance to try to make some noise. And they're real Bear fans.
And now it's a thing because it broke out at the Illinois-Notre Dame basketball game last night in Champaign. And there's a social media clip about Fire Nagy in Champaign. So now wherever Bears fans congregate, it's going to be a thing. Eddie Jackson has learned his lesson, I think, from a couple years ago when he did complain about the booing. And it sounded more like whining. And the tone was, oh, you're hurting us. You have to get behind us and this and that. Whereas yesterday, I felt like it was more defending his coach. And I get that, and I can even respect that. It wasn't something that I felt like it was inviting more criticism or he was doing anything except for trying to stand up for his coach, who is embattled right now. And I understand what he was saying and why he was saying it. So I don't think it will dissuade anybody. It might even invite people to chant a little bit louder, but I don't have any problem with the way that Eddie Jackson stood up for Matt Nagy yesterday.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
The Bears have less than a week to determine whether Tevin Jenkins will join the active roster or sit out the season. Which way are you leaning on that subject? Do you expect him to be activated by Monday?
I do. Our guy Bigsy kind of predicted that.
Yep.
I could understand why they would do that. Mully, I don't know if they're going to start him. It sounded like Matt Nagy, when he addressed the question indirectly a little bit, sounded more like he was going to be a depth piece. If you're out of the playoff race, and I don't think they have done that yet internally, they haven't ruled that possibility out, however small of a pipe dream it remains. But once you are in that position, I think you have an obligation to see what you've got in Tevin Jenkins. And I do think that should be part of your plan over the final six games, is to see what you've got in Tevin Jenkins, even at the expense of perhaps sitting Jason Peters, who has been very serviceable and above average for you at left tackle. But I think you've got to know by the end of the season, compartmentalize the injury, and know what you have moving forward.
Absolutely correct, David. I agree with you 100% on this one. I think that, listen, who do they have on the roster? They got a lot of spots available. Why would you not activate this guy and get him on the active roster and then see if he could go in for a series or two or do something, try to work him in a little bit? I know that you don't usually do that with the offensive line, but you've got to be looking toward the future, and you've got to have some answers about this kid before you get out of this season. So it's very important to compartmentalize the injury to make him feel like, okay, I got hurt, I had the surgery, and now I'm back and my career is back on track. I think that's a little bit of a pipe dream in and of itself, to believe that he's going to be able to kind of rally and play. And I think there is, Olin keeps saying, what was the guy lifting? What was the guy squatting? You got to see those numbers come back before you play him. And strength is obviously difficult when you're talking about that long a layoff because of surgery.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
If Justin Fields isn't available for the game at Arizona, is the game somewhat pointless? With apologies to Matt Nagy's imaginary playoff run, what are you interested in seeing over the final stretch of the season outside of Fields? Is he the lone reason this season matters?
Well, he's a huge reason this season matters, right? I think that we're very close to the point of no return, and I would expect the Bears 7-point underdogs at home to lose to Arizona, and then seeing them go up to Green Bay, seeing them in Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers the following week with Green Bay coming off the bye and presumably the toe, Aaron Rodgers' toe, I told you so, healthy and ready to rumble. If that toe comes back, everyone's in trouble. I think that it's hard to imagine the Bears going 2-0 in that road trip and or going 2-0 in the next two games. They're at home, obviously, against Arizona. But I think that more likely 0-2, and I think they got a lot of guys that are hurt. And my God, that game against the Lions was so bloody awful. I want Justin Fields to play so I have something to keep my interest. And now that Roquan's out, I don't know that there are many guys that can keep my interest.
He's not the lone reason the season matters, but he's the biggest one. I think that goes without saying, but I don't want to be one of those guys that makes this a single-issue season, that all that matters is Justin Fields' development. Because, frankly, if that is all that matters to you right now, you're somewhat concerned, I think, because you have seen very convincing evidence that he can be your franchise quarterback, but you haven't seen overwhelming evidence that has convinced you beyond a shadow of a doubt. You want to be closer to being beyond a shadow of a doubt by the end of the season. I don't know if you're going to get there, Mully. I think it's going to take patience on behalf of the Bears organization and Bears fans. You know, you look at Tua down in Miami, and you see he had injuries, and he was a guy who's similar hype, but he came in, and now you look at his 16-game stats. He just played in the 16th game, I believe. Pretty good. And the arc of his improvement has been impressive. I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be on a similar path, but I think it reminds us that we have to be patient. So that is why I think he is the biggest reason to watch. This game is never pointless. I don't think any Sunday is ever pointless. There are things you care about on the offensive line. your defensive development. And, yeah, Roquan Smith's presence is somewhat important.
A pick six to end the half.
Can you believe Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for LSU? Would you let him coach a bowl game if he's bolting? What does that say about the Notre Dame job? Is it no longer a destination?
Well, I was stunned. And then I was thought about it, and because it was a seismic move, but it wasn't terribly surprising. Because Brian Kelly, I think even himself has said, he's the winningest coach at Notre Dame who's never won a national title. He's going to LSU to win a national title. He's 60. It's different if you're 60 and you're 45. If you're 45, Notre Dame's a destination job without a question. Brian Kelly has been to the destination, and he's seen how difficult it can be to win a national title at Notre Dame. So he's going somewhere where he thinks the window can get open quicker and it's easier to get through to win a title. I understand, well, because they've won three national titles at LSU in the last 18 years. So that's what it says. The Notre Dame job is complicated, but it still is an elite position in college football, and I don't think that's going to stop anybody from wanting to go there, especially guys closer to the beginning of their head coaching careers than the end, whereas, let's face it, Brian Kelly's 60, and he's got one more shot, and he's going to take that shot in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, there's part of me that can't believe it. There's part of me that really believed that Notre Dame was kind of an ultimate destination job. Apparently no longer is the case, and it's hard to win there, and I think that you're going to have to do some convincing, but it's a great job, and there are people that will love to have it. So it's still a great job, but let's be honest about it. It's not there are some downsides to it. There are some issues. There are some cracks in the armor. There's no way he's going to coach a bowl game.
Oh, no way.
Not a chance.
I'm sorry I didn't address that
That's
part.
That's okay.
No chance.
That
no
would
shot.
Never happen. No yeah. way. And I'll be very interested to see who they decide to let do that. I'm guessing that it's the defensive coordinator in a kind of interim role. I don't know if that means he's going to get the job. I think that might be a problem. They might want to consider that before they make him the interim. It's just gonna, it's just a hard thing to do. I'd love to see him win a national championship as an interim coach. Wouldn't that be hilarious? It would just be the ultimate kind of put your thumb on your nose and wave your fingers at Brian Kelly. So that's pretty cool.
Pick six.
What did you think of the Ball Brothers showdown? How concerned are you about the Bulls being one of those teams that raise expectations early in the season only to struggle to match them all year? What's the key to consistency as the Bulls head to New York for a tough two-game swing?
Yeah, I love the Ball Brothers showdown, and I loved it that it came out that Lonzo suggested to AK that you go out and bring his brothers in. Why don't you make a trade and bring my brother in and then sign my other brother? I think that's a fun idea. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed the Ball Brothers showdown because the Bulls won. I'm not concerned about the Bulls being a team that raises expectations only to struggle. I got to be honest with you. I had high expectations for the Bulls based on the work they did in the offseason. I really thought they were going to be a pretty damn good team.
You did?
And they are a pretty damn good team. And I thought that, as much as you pick them to win games and you think they can do things, a lot of it was I thought they should have done better at the end of last year. Hmm. I thought that there were just, the point guard thing was such a problem for them. I like their blend of players. I think they're going to get better. I think their coach is excellent. And even if they lose in New York, I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt all year long. And I think that they got a lot of positives with the front office, the coaching, and some of these players.
LaMelo Ball is pretty good. He is very good. Lonzo, very good. That was a fun matchup to watch. Couldn't imagine the pride that LeVar had watching from courtside. And it was fun to see him there, even though, all the things that he represents in terms of the big baller brand, and that's great. He embraces it. It was a fun matchup, and it's the first of many to come because these are two pretty good teams. The Bulls needed last night, I believe, to remove some of those doubts that might have started to creep in terms of just how good are they going to be. You're right. You were on it. You said 50 victories, I think, at the beginning of the season. That's a pretty good standard to hold them to. That's the pace that they're on. This is a good 50-win caliber team. And when they get their stars, the big three, scoring like they did last night, the offense being as efficient, yeah, they're going to win probably 50 games. So that's the key to consistency, spreading the ball around, being unselfish, and letting Lonzo Ball direct traffic and have everyone else play their roles, because the Bulls are really fitting into those roles, respectively, with whether it's Caruso or Io or all everyone else coming off the bench. Kobe White, the latest last night.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
What's your reaction to reports that Javier Baez is about to sign a six-year deal with the Tigers?
Well, that's going to be a good signing for the Tigers. I think he could be around the average annual value of $25 million per year, which I would think it would be, you know, it's more than the Cubs were offering when they broke off negotiations before the pandemic. I think there was some conversation the Cubs would settle, if you will, for Javi Baez with a out of the Corey Seager race. They aren't going to get Marcus Semien, and maybe Carlos Correa is too rich for their blood. I think Javi would have been a very good backup plan in the eyes of many fans. I didn't like that direction, but now if he's going to the Tigers, as it appears, 6 years, he's going to be a thorn in the Sox side. You could see him hitting a big home run against the White Sox in a key moment, and that would make you cringe if you don't like Javi Baez already, Sox fans. So good move for the Tigers and bad for many Cubs fans, even though I think it's the right thing to keep to not go, you know, revisit the past. I don't think he was a good fit for the Cubs. So maybe we'll see he will succeed with the Tigers.
You know, does this mean no Carlos Correa? I mean, is that, can we confirm that? Is that, is, does this mean Javi is the shortstop? Because is, if they don't get Carlos Correa, that's good news for the White Sox, in my opinion. I would rather face Javi Baez than
point.
Carlos Correa.
That's a really good point.
So he, Carlos Correa is 27 years old. He's looking to, north of 325. I guess that means New York. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean Detroit, right? If they sign Baez, they're going to play him at shortstop, aren't they?
Unless they sign Correa, too.
Well, they, see, if they do that, then all bets are off, and I'm going to get really upset. but if they, if they're just signing Javi instead of Correa,
yeah,
I think that's a better deal for the Sox, even though you're right. It's going to be a pain in the rear end, and he's going to bother them for years to come. That's just the nature of the animal. But, you know, Chris Illich has a lot of money, and he's willing to spend it, and Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't, apparently. I think he has a lot of money. He's just not willing to spend it.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right. 312-644-6767. Back to your calls next. Mully and Haw, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
For me, looking in, you know, I just don't like the outside stuff that's going on. You know, all the booing and all the stuff that I see in social media, his son's game, you know, that type of stuff. I feel like it got to be tough, but for him to come in and still lead us and, you know, not show any signs of weakness or letting that affect him, that says a lot about him and his character. And, you know, for us, for him to be our leader, just to follow behind what he's doing. So I feel like it's tough, but, you know, he's handling the situation very well.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is of course, Eddie talking about his head coach, Matt Nagy. And, yeah, I mean, it's totally understandable that – do you think that Matt Nagy – it's almost like he got through this week, last week, and there, he's
well,
like a new man? Is
well, let me
fair?
Say this. I think it's important that a leader like Eddie Jackson steps forward and says what he said about his head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how significant it is, and I don't know what it means in the big picture, in the larger context. I don't think it's going to change much about the future – about the coaching staff, the head coach, or maybe the general manager. But it does answer a question if you had it. Do the players support their coach? Are they Matt Nagy guys in that locker room? I do think that we have seen support over the last, you know, week or so. The game on Thursday.
That's fair.
They played down to the last snap, and they won a game even though it was against the Lions. And now we hear Eddie Jackson say what he didn't need to say, answer a question directly. But it was definitely defending his coach. I think you have to give credit there. I don't know what it means. I don't think it means that much. But I do think he handled it better than he did the last time that he was critiquing fan responses and booing at Soldier Field. And that was 2 years ago when I don't think that Eddie Jackson handled that very professionally at all. So he's grown too.
Yeah, I that's fair. I just don't know that it matters. I mean, I really don't. I don't
I'm
know
with you.
That
yeah.
You know, Matt Nagy getting the stay of execution is interesting, I suppose, if that indeed is what happened. But he's still on death row.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I mean, we're marking time, Mully. I mean, and so as we mark time toward the end of this season,
right.
I think some things are interesting to note. And obviously, if it was as dysfunctional as some situations become, we would be making a big deal out of that. And if Yeah, if Eddie Jackson was saying he deserves it, hey, wouldn't you boo too?
Right. This is not the end of the Mark Trestman era.
No, it's not.
Okay. Where it was just like, oh my God, is this a total train wreck? It is a big difference. And I think that Nagy has kind of kept control of the situation to a certain extent, which is good. But I also think that there is a sense that there's a conclusion to this era. And it's not that far off. I don't think we really feel like, I mean, I get it. You know, Matt Nagy's going to give you that. Wouldn't it be great if we got a big winning streak? Wouldn't it be something if we get, that's fine. And I mean, again, if the guy is asked about being in the playoff hunt, it's just hard for me to accept that the Bears are in the playoff.
Well,
hunt,
I think that's fair.
Given the losses
they've
had.
It's also understandable because as I pointed out during the 5 at 5, you know, when Dustin was talking about it as well, I think you look at this, there's three different perspectives and vantage points here. You've got the players and the coaches who are in the thick of things that you have to look at this as you still are in the hunt. You're playing for a game that you're playing a game that matters. You can beat the Cardinals, you can beat the Packers, and oh boy, your season's different. You've got to look at it that way if you're a player or a coach. As a fan, you want to look at it that way because you're a fan. You can't help yourself.
If they could beat Arizona, okay, I'm on board.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, if they can win that game, and it's not impossible, games are won all the time.
I am too. Because every Sunday. But we're looking at it in the third way, as an analyst, as an objective observer. Even though you may want the Bears to win, you know better and what you're watching. And so in that context, there's no way you look at the schedule and you think you can see the Bears winning two games in a row. But if they can do that somehow because it is the NFL, I think we will look at it professionally much different the Monday morning after the Packers game, if they're coming off two straight victories, or it would be three in that case, because Lions, Cardinals, Packers, then it's a different story.
The Bears got to the playoffs last year and got to New Orleans. And I remember before that game, I actually picked the Bears to win that game. And you were like, well, what's the football reason? The football reason was that I thought that was a flawed team they were playing. And it had just been uneven and up and down the whole bloody year. And I wasn't sure that they were good enough. Now, the Bears were garbage, as it turned out, and any of the false hope you got at the end of the season when they finished 500 because they ran into whatever it was, Jacksonville, Houston. It was a fortunate turn of schedule that included the Lions, by the way, and they didn't even beat the Lions in that game. But they did make the playoffs, and where there is life, there is hope. And I think that's the same issue you have right now with this Arizona game followed by Green Bay. If indeed Rodgers' toe acts up and somehow he goes hiking or, you know, swimming in a mountain stream, whatever he likes to do during his bye week.
You were talking so much about feet, I think I'm hosting with Rex Ryan.
I told you he's got an issue with his foot.
Okay, stop.
Listen, you heel. You probably kick people around. You probably boot people around for kicks. I'm not obsessed with his feet. I'm saying things happen.
You're right.
And you know, you would need something like that to kind of happen.
You would.
You would need some miraculous moment where the quarterback, you know, found all of it. And you'd have to go in there and beat them. I'm just saying. If you can, here's my problem with the Bears. They lost at home to San Francisco, and they couldn't stop Jimmy Garoppolo from running in for touchdowns in that game.
They woke him up. They woke up Jimmy G.
Yeah, but they restarted his season. They lost me there.
Okay, and I understand that. And I think that you hold out a slim bit of hope if Kyler Murray doesn't play on Sunday and Colt McCoy comes in as the backup. You can beat Colt McCoy. You've got to feel like you can. Maybe Hopkins doesn't play. Maybe some things go your way. Maybe the weather shifts and it snows 6 inches before kickoff. Who knows? It would have to be something very unlikely to happen, but this is the NFL, and unlikely things happen. But I just don't think objectively we look at the next two games. If they were different opponents, we might feel differently about the Bears and set a different tone. But our tone is realistic, and I don't know that you can expect victory the next two Sundays.
If they could somehow have the Lions at home followed by going to the Lions, they've proven they can beat them.
Yeah.
All right, 312-644-6767. Let's try Jack. Jack's on the road. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. I've got like Matt Nagy fatigue with this adversity talk all the time, year after year after year with the losing streaks. it was kind of like, I use an analogy, you got a job, right? And your boss keeps changing things and the goalposts keep moving. After a while, find a new job. You know, you keep saying, oh, man, I got to overcome this. I got to overcome this. Yeah, sometimes. But, I mean, we're 4 years into this. He was hired for offense. How many quarterbacks does this guy need? This is – it's kind of and you talk about a playoff team. Playoffs? So I sound like Jim Mora now. Playoffs? You know, I mean, what in the heck is going on? And, you know, he should have been fired. I mean, leaked out, I think, in the reverse course. I definitely think that was true because I was – and all this talk about fire Nagy or the chance, you know, some of it's inappropriate, but some of it isn't. And I'm just tired of this whole thing. And you say, oh, let's Bears could upset any given Sunday. You watch other teams, give it the eye test. You really think the Bears can upset the Packers?
No,
or the,
No. I don't. No. I don't want to create that perception. I think you have to almost say that as a qualifier, as a disclaimer, like you hear at the end of commercials, is that it is the NFL. Any given Sunday, any team can win. But we know better. We know what we're watching, and they don't pass the eye test.
No.
They just don't.
All right, we're going to, you know who passes the eye test is Brad Biggs.
Oh, yeah.
He can see all, and we'll bring him in next. Biggs time follows. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.